It is good to be together once again. As we come together, we're going to continue our study on thankfulness for our fathers. Appreciate so much DJ reading our scripture. As we look today at thankful for our fathers, once again, I appreciate Brother Billy's song right before the lesson. I did not have that one in mind, but it nails exactly the point that we will be looking at as we continue our study today. So this morning, we looked at being thankful for our fathers for their commands. We looked at the thankfulness for our fathers for their care and for their compassion. And then this afternoon, we want to continue by looking at our father's continuing legacy. So we want to be thankful for that continuing legacy. Now, here comes the problem. That continuing legacy depends on you. You know, we sang the song, "There Stands a Rock." What do you build your hopes on? What do you cling to? Or as we look at our earthly father, what do people see in you? You know, to a certain extent, as you look around, I have no doubt that you can look at your parents and some would say, "I can see your father in you," or I can recognize you when I look at them. There's different attributes that they recognize within one's physical character. If you look at Jude, you might recognize that there is a little bit of Jared inside of him. Now, I trust that many of you feel very much the same. What's that?
Maybe he'll outgrow it.
Maybe he'll outgrow it. We hope so for the poor guy. I do need to clarify that this morning when I mentioned the wise young fellow that said we are all children because God is our father, when I said that was a four-year-old, that was a four-year-old that said it, not a four-year-old that lives today. So we're thankful for that five-year-old, and we're thankful for his wise words. Today, continuing legacy. You know, I have no doubt that many of you, if I knew your father, there would be different traits that I could see in you that I'd be like, that reminds me of your dad. There's a lot of times when my father comes down here and people will be like, "I see where you got it, Jared. I know how that happened." But we see a continuing legacy. That's because our fathers instill in us those lessons. You go back to those commands at the beginning. Some of those commands are carried on through us. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. As DJ read, we consider the continuing of a legacy. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20, it says, "My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake the law of your mother." Within this thought, keeping of your father's commands and not forsaking the law of their mother as they continue in life. It's not just while they're young. It's not just while they're growing up and in the parents' household. But the idea is that wisdom will carry you through. It's there for a lifetime. It's wisdom that you pass on. No doubt, nearly every funeral that I go to, they talk about the legacy that is left by the one who has passed. There are things that you remember that are instilled in you. You know, there is instilled in me. I will always think of Brother Billy as he opens a prayer. That's when I look at Brother Billy, I know how it's going to start. And I know the direction it's going to go as he gives praise to God in every prayer right from the beginning. There is a continuing legacy. There is a thought from being around someone, from hearing them speak, from seeing their actions. You go back to the song that Billy led before the lesson. Some built their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or the treasure or their land. Okay, there's things that you can be known for, but there is one thing that is greater than all other. Mine's on the rock that forever will stand. As we look at being thankful for a continuing legacy, I pray that the legacy that we strive to leave is Jesus, the Rock of Ages. You look at those lessons that are instilled in us, they last far beyond our death. You know, I think back to different stories I've heard. I've heard of my great-grandfather, and as he pulls the brand new car into the shop, he said, "Whoa!" And he drove through the back. You know, there's different stories that you hear. That would be Emperor Frederick I, so that was way back when. Now you go through, and then there's things that are passed down from my father. You know, I go back and I think back to my grandfather. I never knew him. He died almost 2 weeks before I was born. But I know that within my grandfather was a great desire to find truth. You know, they talk about my grandfather and different people knocking on the door. They said, "Hey, can we study with you?" He said, "Sure, you come by and I'll tell you where you're wrong." He studied his Bible avidly. He searched the scriptures. He knew what he was doing was incorrect, and he had a desire or a heart to learn. He had a desire to grow, and I talk about a continuing legacy. What will your legacy be? When you talk about the legacy of our father, a lot of us can look back to our parents and we're thankful for the teachings that were passed down to us. Maybe it's the love that they showed, the care that they had for others. You know, there's a lot of people that you can recognize how they were so good to all the people. You know, I've heard different people talk about one, I never heard them say something negative about anybody. You know, what a great blessing or a tradition to pass on. You go back to Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, Joshua had predetermined in his mind the way of life, the way things were going to go. You know, as they're coming to a decision point in life, so to speak. You know, they come to an apex. They get to a point, well, what are you going to do? You come to the cross in the road. You go to a fork in the road. Which direction do you choose? Well, in Joshua's day, as they get to this fork in the road, Joshua says in verse 15, he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," he said, "choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that are on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And he said, "But let me tell you, my mind was already decided. I had already figured out before I got here what I was going to do with my life." And so he says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I think about a continuing legacy, and man, if that can be the continuing legacy, oh, what a blessing. Think about being thankful for our fathers upon the earth. I'd say the greatest legacy that can be passed down is just that. You know, if our children look nothing like us, we would still be thankful if we have found that they served the Lord. If our children's had no part of our personality, we would still feel blessed to know that they served the Lord. If our children receive nothing else from us, you know, you couldn't pass down the land or a lot of people, you know, as they come to the end of their lives, they give an inheritance to their children, and they might be very thankful for it. But if we could pass down that love for the Lord, then we have truly passed down something that is beneficial. If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, not only is it something we can pass down, but it was commanded to be passed down. This was the point as they were giving the law. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the Lord. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you begin in verse 5, he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Does it sound familiar? Yeah, Jesus reused it, okay? Jesus called attention to it. He says in verse 6, and these words which I command you, he said, today shall be in your heart. And in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. What words is he talking about? That immediate context. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now with it carries along the idea of the commands that he gives them. But he says, remember, the love of the Lord is greater than all others. It's greater than all other thoughts or things that you could pass down to your children. He said, teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, when's left out. He said, let your conversation be that so that your children have instilled in them a love for the Lord. You know, as I think about that continuing legacy, there's a lot of things we pass down. You know, we have our social life, we have our political thoughts, our mental thoughts, you have your economic abilities, you have all these different portions of life that it's like, well, I can carry this trait on. But there is one that is far greater and is in no comparison. They don't fit on the same scale. Above all things that could be passed on is that spiritual nurturing, that love for the Lord that is spoken of. As I think about our continuing legacy, you know, we find a refuge in God, a safe place within God. Within this legacy that's passed on, we need to train our children that where do you go? You know, we sing a song of where do I go? Where do I go but to the Lord? The idea is there is one answer. There is one place where you find rest, safety, security. What do parents try and supply for their children growing up? You know, my wife always tells me about, well, my dad locked the doors before we went to bed. And so, therefore, it should be my job. But at our house, my wife makes sure that the doors are locked on some evenings. And if it doesn't happen, I probably had something to do with it. I wasn't paying attention. So, you try and take care of your children. You want to be a safe place. They want to come home and feel safe and know that amongst their family is safety. You know, I think about the different parents that say, yeah, and our boy still comes and he jumps into bed with me. I could call names, but I won't. I think about the times where your child finds safety in you. You know, they get scared at night and they scream, Mom, Mom. Within our life, we've got a legacy that is passed on. We want our children to feel safe with us. Now let's go ahead and swap gears. Spiritually speaking, we need to be thankful for our Father's continuing legacy. Now what I'm talking about is Jesus, the Rock of Ages. You talk about that continuing legacy. How does that legacy continue? It only, without fail, continues through you. Do you understand? You have a responsibility. You know, my children know things about my grandfather because my father told them or because my father told me and I pass it on to them. How is the world to know of our Father? I'm happy for you to tell your children about your earthly Father, but there is one Father that is greater and of more importance than your earthly Father can ever be compared to. You know, I think about 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we get this idea of the legacy. I want the legacy to continue. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, as Paul is writing to young Timothy, and young Timothy honestly might very likely be older than me right now, but as he's writing to young Jared in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "And the things that you have heard among me, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses," he said, "commit these to faithful men," listen, "who will be able to teach others also." How does the legacy continue? You have the blessing of being called a child of God, and now it's your responsibility to spread it. You know, I think about as the disciples were given the Great Commission, you know, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I think back to the need for us today to share that legacy. How is the world going to know about Christ if it weren't for God's children sharing the good news? Do you expect the world to do it? You know, you go back to Romans chapter 10, and he talks about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Think back to Acts chapter 8 as the Ethiopian eunuch is studying and he says, "Do you understand what you read?" And he said, "How can I except someone guide me?" Sitting in the pew today, I would assume that you sit here recognizing the sacrifice that has been given, recognizing the death and what it means for me. You recognize that Christ was buried in the tomb. You see the picture of the gospel as he rose again, fulfilling or showing the promise that we too can overcome. That Christ is victorious over death, and so he can raise you. How is the world supposed to understand that message except someone guide them? Spiritual context, there is a continuing legacy that will go nowhere without you. You can tell the world all day long about your physical earthly father and it'll do them no good. But if you tell them about your spiritual father and the soul-saving message of his son, you can move mountains. You can save, literally, save the world. So we think about this continuing legacy. I would say, praise be to God for good fathers. Praise be to God because he is our spiritual father. You go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, and he makes reference to how we are sons, how we are part of this family. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Notice verse 5, "having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself." He said, "I brought you in to my family." Why? Because he wanted to. He chose to. When he had a choice, he said, "I want you to be a part of my family." You look at that continuing legacy, and I say we've got a job to do. You know, there are some that don't have the same upbringing as me, and they don't look at their parent as this spiritual guide. But you know, even as Lazarus has died, you look back, and the rich man said, "Can you send Lazarus that he tell my brothers?" I promise you, by design, the hope is that you learn. If there is somebody that didn't teach you before, God's hope and prayer is that you're saved. You know, Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." But just like the rich man, as we look at the picture of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man desired that his brothers would know the truth. And he said, hey, they've got the opportunity. Today we've got the law and the prophets. We've got the opportunity to look and to recognize and understand God's purpose for man. You can go back at Luke chapter 16 and look at that example. But as I think about the continuing legacy, I consider God's design for us. Now, as we go on, not only do we look at the continuing legacy, but the last thing I want you to notice is being thankful to be our Father's crown. To make mom and dad really proud. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6, he looks at this picture of the child or a grandchild. And within the beauty of the picture, he displays the uniqueness and the greatness that is felt by the father or grandfather. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 6, he said, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. You think about that blessing of looking back and being proud of what you've accomplished. You know, growing up, I looked at the different tasks in life, and there were certain tasks that, you know, if I'd been a computer person, I would have felt like at the end of the day, when you look back at the computer, it still looks like a computer. And so I chose construction, because at the end of the day, I look back and I see a roof. You look back and you see a house. You look back and you see lights that work. Okay, you get to see the benefits of something that was done. Early on in life, I looked back at the stall and I would recognize there was no more manure in it. It felt good. Accomplishment. Like, I've done something. You think about a father that comes to the end of their life and they look back, or at least up in years, they come back and they look back and they recognize faithful children. Helpful to society. Not causing trouble. Beneficial to the community. They look at that all these aspects, and you can imagine the crown joy, the gleam of the father or grandfather. And you see, when we talk about that continuing legacy, that legacy that they strove to instill in you through the commands that they gave, through the care that they showed, it still comes back to home. What did I do with it? What did I do with what I was taught? What did I do with the things that transpired in my life? And then you think about the Heavenly Father. Are we a crown to our Heavenly Father? You know, we see the joy over the one lost sheep that comes home. You see the pride over one soul. You go back to Acts chapter 2, we see the Lord adding to the church, and I can imagine the beauty of the joy being very much the same as the one lost sheep that's returned. And then you think, as a father leads, so will his children follow. There's a pretty heavy weight laying on your shoulder. As a father, there's a heavy weight or a task at hand that you have to consider. My influence is big. Proverbs chapter 20. In verse 7, it says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, And notice his children are blessed after him. You know, they've often said, in regards to wealth, you know, one generation makes it, and the next one wastes it. Sometimes I wonder if in spiritual life, one generation makes it, and the next one throws it away. You know, you've got to be careful to carry on that legacy, and you carry on the legacy in being the Father's crown. Now, not because you want to please your parents, but you want to please your Father. You want to please God in heaven. We must be thankful to be our Father's crown. As a warrior carefully aims an arrow, in Psalms 127, he talks about the arrows of a warrior. They aim it in a direction. They carefully learn how to use that bow so they can put the arrow exactly where they want it. In Psalm 127, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Man, you talk about that crown. He says, speak with their enemies in the gates. What do you think the enemy thinks? I hate that his kids turned out so well. He says, he's always bragging about his kids and grandkids. You see, in the father that carefully aimed that arrow, that worked at it. I mean, we're not talking about by accident. He didn't pick up the arrow the first time. But he practiced and diligently worked at raising or directing the child in the direction of the Father. We see a father that has a crown, and that child is part of it. As we talk about being thankful that we get to be the crown of our Father, I hope that you can look back and think to your dad, and that you can say, you know, Dad would be so proud to know that I'm sitting in the pew. Dad would be so proud to know that I show love to the world. Dad would be so proud to know that I'm a working, active part of the body of Christ. But as it comes back around, we're all children because God is our Father. Do you make the Father proud? In 3 John chapter 1, which is really the only chapter, verse 4, it says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, by this point, John would have been older. In fact, I believe, verse 1, it refers to him as the elder. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I think about our Heavenly Father, you know, his purpose being that man could be saved. No doubt, he has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. As we close and we think about being thankful to be our Father's crown, I want to tell you about just a couple other crowns. In Matthew chapter 27, our Lord wore a crown so that you could be part of His crown. There was no glory in His crown, but rather it was a picture of shame. We need to be thankful that we get to be the crown to our Father. He gave it all for us. He gave his life. We see he was crowned with thorns. He promised you a crown of a completely different kind. You know, as I go back to John chapter 14, he says, hey, I'm going to go away where I go. I want you there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. We sing in the youth group oftentimes, a mansion, robe, and crown. God prepares a crown for you. And I think there's a pursued crown that we need to strive for. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? He says, run in a way, in such a way that you may obtain it. He said, everyone who competes for a prize, for this prize, is temperate in all things. He said, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Thankful to be our Father's crown because He desires that we have a crown. I encourage you to pursue it with all your might. James talks about chapter 1, not only the crown that is pursued, that you seek after, that you strive for, that you work, that you diligently give your life to receiving it. And in James chapter 1, he recognizes it is the crown that is received. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, listen, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We talk about Father's Day. Are you thankful for your fathers? Are you thankful for your father? Love him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you haven't been following after God, if you haven't given your life to him, I encourage you, think about it diligently. If you haven't given your life to Christ, I pray that you can't sleep at night. We're going to be down at camp, but if you are up tonight, you say, you know, I never gave my life to Christ, I beg of you, call me. And if I don't drive back myself, I will ensure that somebody else is here to help you. As you look at the thankfulness for our Father, do you love Him and keep His commandments? Within His design was the opportunity for you to have your sins washed away. If you haven't given your life to Christ, understanding that Jesus died, He was buried in the tomb, that He rose again, we have the opportunity to follow that pattern. Putting to death sin, putting to death self. It's no longer about Jared Rhodes, but I'm going to live for Christ. Putting to death that which is wrong, we call it repentance. Being buried in the water, going all the way under, immersion. Rising to walk in newness of life, we see hope. We see a crown to pursue. And I can only imagine the rejoicing of our Father. If you haven't given your life to Christ, make a change right now while we stand and sing.